So my question is, have you been bought? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you are a bondservant of Christ. You've been delivered from the slavery of sin and the death that comes from it and the eternal separation and punishment. Now you have a gracious, wonderful God to serve. Great God, wonderful God.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Colossians.
Well, Dave, as we come to the close of this book, we're going to see that no one is unredeemable, that no one is unrestorable, that if you've messed up, that God will restore you if you're willing to be restored. Okay, well, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 7 through 11, and I want you to pay specific attention to John Mark.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
You're going to be the Lord's slave, a good and gracious, wonderful master who died for you and gave himself up for you and loves you, or you're going to be a slave to sin and thus Satan. Romans 6:16, Paul says, do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are a slave to the one you obey? Either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Choose your master. We are, as believers, bondservants of Jesus Christ. You got to remember that. So do you realize you've been bought with a great price, the blood of Christ? Do you see yourself as a servant of Christ bound over to do his will? People say, I believe in Jesus. Well, then, but they don't see themselves as servants. I believe in Jesus and I do as I please. Right? That's the attitude in church these days. I believe in the gospel. I believe he died for my sins, but I do as I please. That's really what's going on. We've been bound over to do his will, not my will, but thy will be done. So we've been bought with a great price. Everyone's going to serve somebody or something. Joshua had to make it clear to the Israelites, hey, you can go back to the way you did and serve all those false gods beyond the river, or you can serve the Lord. And he says, but as for us. And I'll read this for you. Joshua 24:14. Now there, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. By the way, you can tell one who knows the Lord and one who doesn't by the one who serves and one who doesn't, right? He says here, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river Egypt and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And I say, serve the Lord. But don't play around and come to church and not serve the Lord. If you're going to come to church and not serve the Lord, go back to where you were before. He says, serve the Lord. And if it's disagreeable in your sight, serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you'll serve. Whether it's the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom your land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord for Joshua. It's impossible to walk in a worthy manner without understanding you're serving Christ. It's impossible. And if you're serving him, we're learning to obey all that he has said, right? We're learning to obey his word. And guess what? His commandments are not burdensome. We see that in 1 John, right? It's not burdensome. So my question is, have you been bought? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you are a bondservant of Christ. You've been delivered from the slavery of sin and the death that comes from it and the eternal separation and punishment. Now you have a gracious, wonderful God to serve. Great God, wonderful God. And I mentioned it earlier, but this term fellow or soon doulos speaks of equality within the servants. There's no church hierarchy. There's different giftings. Paul says, fellow bondservant. We're serving. Soon doulos. Fellow bondservant. In the Lord. In the Lord. When Paul needed a letter to the Colossians and quite possibly Ephesus delivered, he chose Tychicus. What a task. Bring the word of God. Travel. And travel wasn't like what it is today. It was dangerous and difficult. And not only did he bring the word, he was to bring encouragement. Encouragement. Look at our passage again. He says, as to my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. He's going to make things known. He's going to bring information. For I have sent him, Paul sent him. What if Tychicus said, I don't want to go, Paul? Tychicus understood that it was the Lord giving those commands through Paul, and he willingly and gladly went. He's a faithful servant. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, hey, what's going on, and that he may encourage your hearts. Isn't that great? We saw the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, to encourage you, to know, hey, Paul, yeah, he's in chains, but things are going good in the Lord. God is doing things. He is using my chains for his glory. You can read that in Philippians 1, right? God calls us to be faithful. It is required. Are you faithful? Hey, it doesn't mean that things don't change, okay? We need to do what we say and say we do. Our yes needs to be yes, our no needs to be no. But God sometimes changes things. Paul said his yes is yes, his no is no, but there was a no that had to become a yes. You see that in 2 Corinthians. Because God was rearranging things, but he was submitting to the Lord. Are you faithful? It is required of stewards that one be found, and it's, by the way, be found faithful. We read this earlier during our offertory time, but it's required of faithful. We see that the faithful and sensible slave, the master will put in charge of all his households. Matthew 24. We saw the Lord Jesus as he addressed the slaves who are faithful in the parable in Matthew 25. He said, and well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You can enter into torment because you served yourself all your life. Or you can enter into his joy. Yes, it's difficult to serve. You got to give up your will, right? You got to die to yourself. So then the apostle Paul sent Tychicus to make known all his affairs and circumstances that he might encourage their hearts. And most likely he brought the letter Colossians and Ephesians. And he is described as our beloved brother, faithful servant, and fellow bond servant. He wasn't just held over to do the Lord's will and obey him. He actually did the task he served. He was a deacon in that sense. He did the serving tasks. Okay. Well, notice someone was with him. Verse 9. And with him, Onesimus. This is interesting. He says, our faithful and beloved brother who is one of your number. Hey, he's a Colossian. Now, we can learn much about Onesimus in Paul's short letter to Philemon. From this letter, we know that Onesimus was a changed man. And you can be a changed man or woman today. You could be different. Jim was telling me about someone's walking along and had a terrible life and talking about all his troubles and stuff and been in prison and stuff. Jim invited him to church. He could be a changed man if he wanted to. Christ can change him. Change anybody. Onesimus had a sinful past. We know that he was a runaway slave. He stole money from the house of Philemon, his master, and he fled to Rome. And it's here, through God's incredible providence, that he meets the apostle Paul, who's in chains, and he is led to saving faith in Christ. Isn't that great? And at this point, Paul sends him back to Philemon with an exhortation for Philemon to forgive Onesimus for defrauding him and running away and to welcome him as a brother in Christ. Turn to Philemon, and I want to go to verse 10. Now, you're not going to read the whole book, but you should read it. It's a short book. It's wonderful. Philemon, verse 10. He says, I appeal to you. This is Paul to Philemon. Okay, Philemon is Onesimus' slave owner. Okay, he's a believer. He says, I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Onesimus, right? That means Paul, when he was in prison, shared the gospel, and Onesimus came to faith. And he truly did. You know, when someone comes to faith and you see no fruit, oh, it's so discouraging. There's fruit here. Who was formerly useless to you. Notice how Paul shares this. He's useless because he had run away, right? But now is useful to both you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything that your goodness should not be, as it were, by compulsion, but out of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason parted from you for a while, that you should have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Look at that. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Nismas was a good guy. He didn't say, I'm not going back to that place. He was a, I don't want to go back to him. Nismas did it. Traveled all the way back. Came back. Onesimus, he's a Colossian. He's a changed man. He was once a useless runaway slave, and now he's a faithful servant of Christ. Once a mere human commodity, now a beloved brother. So he says here, verse 9, back in Colossians chapter 4, and with him, with Tychicus, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. We've seen those terms. I'm not going to go back and teach that all over again. You just heard it all with Tychicus, right? But he was faithful too. He's a faithful and beloved brother. What are your number? You see, when one truly becomes a child of God through faith in Christ, things change. And when you abide in Christ and trust in him and his word works in your heart, you change. And notice, Paul states at the end of verse 9, they, that's Tychicus and Onesimus, will inform you about the whole situation here. They're going to tell you about what's going on. So Paul sent Tychicus and Onesimus, and they were obedient, faithful, beloved servants of the Lord. And in the godly authority of Paul, they did exactly what they were faithfully told to do. And in terms of ministry, we've all been given gifts. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as though the very oracles of God, he serves by the strength that God supplies, that all things God will be glorified through Christ Jesus. Would you be considered a faithful servant of Christ? Are you being obedient in serving the Lord by serving his body? If your name was recorded in Scripture, would it speak of your faithfulness? Again, I've mentioned before being an elder, I've been blessed to the position to see much faithfulness over the years. People faithfully, year after year, faithfully doing the task of ministry, whatever it is. Yet unfortunately, I've also seen a lot of unfaithfulness. Solomon writes it this way in Proverbs. He says, 25:19, I believe it's Solomon, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confident in a faithless man in day of trouble. Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? I remember that. People say, hey, I want to teach. They weren't faithful in little things. Some of you are listening. You've been faithful. You know you're a faithful servant because God has done this in you. You give him all the glory. You know it's nothing of you. Praise the Lord and continue to trust the Lord and be faithful. Do what he calls you to do. Some of you might realize you're self-servers, unfaithful. Confess and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I failed. And guess what? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse of all unrighteousness. And maybe you had a bad attitude, whatever it is. Lord God, I'm sorry. Your faithfulness is an indicator of your spiritual condition, and it cannot be generated. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of a yielded life in Christ. Okay, so we've seen Tychicus and Onesimus. That's real ministers, real ministry, okay? That's what it really looks like, okay? And then notice we see that this real ministry includes difficulty for the kingdom. Okay, verse 10. Anastarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings. And also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Verse 11. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. He identifies three Jewish believers that were with him. And the only ones, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justice. What do we know about Aristarchus? He says, my fellow prisoner sends you his greetings. We know he's a Jewish believer from Thessalonica, Acts 20, verse 4. Acts 19, he was called traveling companion. He was seized by a rioting mob in Ephesus. He also accompanied Paul to Jerusalem and on his voyage to Rome. He calls him a fellow prisoner, and he uses an interesting word that's not usually the same word for prisoner. He says, one caught with a spear. He speaks of a prisoner of war. He's a prisoner of this spiritual battle that they're in. We are in a spiritual battle, not in a physical war. And he's a prisoner in that sense. He's certainly a physical prisoner, but it's for Christ. So there's difficulty. Paul's in prison. Aristarchus is in prison. There's difficulty for following Christ. And guess what? He doesn't say, oh, it's so horrible here. He says, he sends his greetings. Not saying we don't pray about the difficulties God brings in our lives, but notice he sends his greetings. And then notice it says, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. He's saying Barnabas' cousin Mark sends his greetings also. Okay? And what do we know about Mark or John Marcus? We'll see. First, he was Barnabas' cousin, right? In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, we see he had a wealthy mom, most likely. His name was John, who was called Mark. And he adds something, Barnabas' cousin Mark, back in our passage. Look at, he got a little addition here. About whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Interesting. Some special instructions about a person. Apparently, the Colossian church would not welcome Mark without special instructions. They were going to stand off from him. They needed special instructions. Why? Well, obviously, it has to do with John Mark's ministry experience, which was quite different than Tychicus or Aristarchus. Acts 12:25 reveals John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Yet when things got tough, evidently he deserted them. Okay? He deserted Paul and Barnabas, and it's possible that he fled back to his home. We don't know. Acts chapter 15 reveals that after his desertion, that kept Paul from bringing him on his second missionary journey, leading to a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And there are people who say, well, they agree to disagree, and it's this Paul's right, and so is Barnabas. I don't think so. I think Barnabas was wrong. Paul was right, and I'm going to show that to you. Look at Acts chapter 15. Because it's interesting. After this, you don't hear Barnabas at all, except for this word, Barnabas' cousin. You don't hear about it. Acts chapter 15, verse 37. And Barnabas was desirous of taking John called Mark along with him also. But Paul kept insisting, this is Acts 15, 37 and now 38. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, fortunately, the story doesn't end here. And this is an encouraging story because no matter how much you mess up, God can restore you. But there may be some consequences, like a little note, hey, accept him, here's why. All right? There may be some consequences. Amazingly, Mark changed. John Mark changed. So much so that he became a useful tool to the Apostle Paul. And it's apparent that he, inspired by the Spirit, wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now Mark is to be welcomed. This is, 10 or so years later. You know, you do hear about Barnabas in Galatians, but he got caught up in Peter's stuff, right? And that was 10 years earlier. But you don't hear of him after this, except this portion here. Just a side comment. So evidently, praise the Lord, Mark changed. But there's some instructions here about whom you receive instructions. If he comes, welcome him. Hey, he's good. Welcome. He's following the Lord. Again, sin has its consequences even after restoration. There may be some stipulations on how you have to serve because you failed in the past. There may be some having encouraged people. Hey, he's okay to welcome him. He's following the Lord. Now, if you get upset about that and all intertwined on the inside, then you haven't really been restored. Okay? So apparently Mark's desertion caused the church to be weary of him, but Paul, they gave instructions to welcome him. And then notice in 2 Timothy 4:11, by the time Paul is about to go to the Lord, he says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Hey, isn't that great? He's useful. This guy you deserted, he's useful. 1 Peter chapter 5, we see that Mark had become maybe Peter's disciple in a sense. 1 Peter 5:13, she who is in Babylon, that speaks of Rome, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. My son Mark, maybe Peter had some influence after he had left. Peter saw John as a spiritual son. He took him under his wing. And if you look at the Gospel of Mark, inspired by the Spirit, there's some Petrine influence, it seems like, that God, inspired by the Spirit, used some of what Peter had seen in Mark. You see that? Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is a useful to me to service. Have you made mistakes in ministry? Have you deserted? There are consequences. But no one is unrestorable. Have you failed? Remember John Mark. Unlike Demas, John Mark returned. Now there's a third of these three Jewish believers that are with Paul. He talks about, he says, verse 11, and also Jesus who is called Justice. Now we don't know anything about this person, except that verse 11 reveals these are the only fellow workers for the kingdom. They're workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision and have proved to be an encouragement. That is great. They're workers for the kingdom of God. They're working. It's labor. There's tasks to do. There's labor. Workers for the kingdom of God. And notice it says they have proved. This interesting word here, it's not to demonstrate. It means they have become. Literally, ginomai. They have become. Here, as we see, they have become an encouragement to Paul. I tell you, when you're ministering, you need encouragement. I need encouragement. It is difficult. I'm getting hit every angle. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And how great it is to have those around you who are encouraging. They're faithful in ministry. They're encouraging. It's just encouraging to see someone trusting Jesus. It's encouraging to see them faithful in the ministry. So let me ask you, have you become an encouragement or a burden? So then we have seen the examples of Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus, real, authentic ministry. Includes faithful service for Christ, difficult testing, and ultimately brings encouragement to those ministering with them. For some of you, maybe this message has convicted you that you haven't been faithful, and there may be a few reasons. One, first, you've never ever yielded your life to Christ. You need to turn your life over to Him. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to yield to Him completely. I'm yours, Lord Jesus. I believe in you. Save me, Lord Jesus. Confess and believe. And some of you may be believers, but you are unfaithful. And as we saw earlier, it's a fruit of abiding in Jesus and His Word working in you. It's through the Spirit. Confess. Acknowledge it. No excuses. No excuses. Don't give excuses. No confession. Someone says, I'm sorry, then they give us excuses. That's not a sorry at all. No excuses. And God will restore you like John Mark. God will restore you. You'll be faithful today. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required that one be found trustworthy. And what about Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left, would you take just a moment and remind us of the big points from today's message?
Certainly, Dave. Indeed, we've seen in this passage as we near the end of Colossians that authentic ministry has faithful servants serving who go through difficult testing for Christ and who are an encouragement to those who are in spiritual authority over them. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a faithful servant? Would the Lord Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you suffering for Christ? Be encouraged. Are you an encouragement to those who are over you spiritually? I pray you are. And if not, confess your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Focus on Him and allow His Word to change your heart towards ministry and towards those who are ministering to you. Now, with this in mind, if you realize that you're in a church that doesn't have any of this, you need to get out. You need to get to a church that has faithful servants who are suffering for Christ under leadership that is good and godly that needs to be encouraged. Okay. Well, tomorrow we begin our last 3-day message in Colossians, and after that we begin a new series. So then, make plans to join us tomorrow as we finish up in the book of Colossians.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.